I'm a fun
guy.
You
have fun when they finish below 500.
I'm just Captain Fun.
I guess.
I'm gonna wear a captain suit the show from now on.
I don't like the half point.
Well, that's called the hook.
I don't like it.
What the hook?
How do you get rid of it? Can you get rid of the hook?
I'm gonna have a coronary. I'm getting too old for this job, but you guys may have won.
Upset. If you look back at where the term came from, it was from a horse race. Upset.
When did you turn into Cliff Clavin?
I like this job. I've had it for a long time, Paul.
Last one.
This
point.
Isn't a chemistry lab.
You're on the verge of next year's Super Bowl.
I can't help what I think. Be honest, Paulie. You're not doing this for other people's entertainment. You are truly enjoying this.
This is Orange Nation. With Stephen Fonte and Paulie Sibilia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us. Alongside Paulie Sibilia, I'm Stephen Fonte. Another week of Orange Nation. We've got Mark Bradwick, veteran tailgater, longtime SU football fan. He'll join us at 12:30 with his annual preview of the tailgating road trips this upcoming season for Syracuse football. Jackson Keenan.
Yeah, go Clemson ahead. Is an insane place. Have you been?
Yes, multiple times.
How rich are those people?
They're very nice, too.
They're very rich.
Very rich. They have, and very nice. They and they know how to tailgate.
TVs bigger than my house outside right. of their RVs. It's insane.
I would say that it's the longest walk I know of for media
Virginia
members.
Virginia is a brutal walk.
Is it? I haven't been.
Yeah, that's not fun. It's all uphill on the way back, too. So.
Oh, see, Clemson's uphill on the way there. At least you're downhill on the way back. So Mark Bradwick will join us at 12:30, Jack Joe Keenan at 1 o'clock to talk Yankees baseball. They certainly closed out the first half in style with a couple of blowout wins over the Red Sox. Donna DeTota coming your way at 1:30, basketball writer for Syracuse.com. Plus, we'll mix in your phone calls at 315-437-7644. How was the weekend, Paulie?
Good. Yankees are on pace to win 112 games, Steve.
Yeah, I saw a stat yesterday that they could play essentially 500 baseball. Three games above 500 in the second half of the year, they win 100 games. Shows you how well they're playing, how well the first half went.
That's pretty good.
And that's with losing 5 or 6 until the weekend. So they kind of stumbled into the All-Star break by their standards, but they can finish three games above 500, still win 100 games.
I spent my whole weekend living fantasies out in my head, Steve.
Yeah,
of how Juan Soto could end up a Padre.
In a Padre uniform.
He turned down 400. Like, I'm not even going to get into the Padres. $440 million.
He doesn't want to be there.
There's 440 million reasons you should want to be there. It's crazy. It is insane to me that somebody could turn down that much money. And he's having a bad year. He's not even having a great.
Yeah, I was going to say though, how much of a risk is it really though? Because he's going to get somewhere in the neighborhood of that,
yeah,
from a team that he wants to play for.
The Dodgers and Yankees are on the list of where he could go, Steve.
Yeah.
And he could be an insurance policy if Aaron Judge decides to leave.
We were talking about that off air. I mean, it's a steep price because in order to get him, you're going to have to decimate your minor league system.
Yeah, you're giving up your team's future,
right?
In order to the Yankees can go out and sign people in free agency, but teams like the Cardinals and Padres, who are also on the list, will be giving up their future.
Right.
Like,
so you name the list. So there's just one American League team, the Yankees, and then the other three, it's Padres, Cardinals, Dodgers,
yes,
that are supposedly in pursuit. I don't know. How would you feel? I mean,
I've spent 50 years waiting for a winner. I would
take it in a second. Yeah.
But I also understand why the Dodgers and Yankees wouldn't. They don't have to.
Right.
They've got the pedigree. The Cardinals also, those are three of the winningest franchises in baseball history, and then one turd. The turd should do whatever it takes.
I mean, we were talking about this off air. I mean, that might put the Cardinals over the top.
It would put anybody over the top. Could you imagine you replace, anybody in the Yankee Gallo, anybody in the Yankees lineup with Juan Soto?
Right, but the Yankees are the favorites either way, I guess, is my point. Whereas the Cardinals, I don't know if we look at the Cardinals as the NL favorite, but that could put them over the top.
You got Arenado, Goldschmidt, and Soto.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That might be the missing piece.
Then the Dodgers are just loaded anyways.
Yeah.
I still think they're the best team in baseball.
That's why I take the Yankees and Dodgers out of the equation, because I think that, they're the favorites right now. If the Padres made this move, would that make them the favorites?
No.
No. But it might make the Cardinals
the
favorite.
But they would also be adding Tatis.
Right.
Also.
Right.
They may be. Who knows? It's a lot of money. It'll be interesting because, you know, whoever, like, if the Cardinals or Padres do do it, they may not be doing it for, like, the long-term signing of them. It may be two and a half year rental.
Yeah. It's better than a six-month rental or four-month rental. At least you get them for a couple years. You can see what you can do. You have a window then, window of opportunity.
Yes, I like windows. They're on the verge if they get them.
They are. Yeah, I'm not laughing at that.
They would be on the verge.
They would be on the verge. Did you have a nice weekend otherwise?
I did, Steve. How about you?
Yeah. Weather was great. It was relaxing. And
we had a good time at my 80s party.
We did.
We'll get into that at the 45 break. I'm going to pull a Jim Boeheim on some people. And you have to stick around to find out what that means.
I look forward to that. Where do you want to start? You want to start?
Golf was pretty big.
I was gonna say there's a lot of places we could start. We could start British Open. We could start if you want the baseball talk. I mean, I know tonight is the event we've all been waiting for.
It's the only thing going on, Steve. It's the biggest event right now. I did not say that, you liar. Don't come in here with your download.
It's the next big event.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Okay.
It's bigger than the All-Star Game.
Can't wait. Can't wait for Home Run Derby tonight.
Oh, I can't wait for this week to be over. I can't wait for you to leave. You're not a good person.
I just like giving you a hard time. You give me a hard time enough. I have to give it back every once in a while.
So,
what stood out to you from the golf since you brought up golf?
A guy won, and then the Live Tour tried to poach him immediately as he was walking to the podium.
Well, we talked about this last week, right? We said there's going to be another wave, that there have been rumblings about another wave. Apparently, Cam Smith is among the golfers in that other way.
It was like there's one guy with a scorecard for him to sign, and then there's the Live Tour guy with a contract for him to sign standing right next to him.
It was impressive. Did you watch Final Round yesterday?
I watched the highlights, Steve. I was watching baseball yesterday.
Well, there wasn't really baseball. Well, I guess there was a little bit of baseball.
There was a lot of afternoon
baseball. At the
very end,
but there was, a lot of this was playing out late morning into the early afternoon with the British Open, but... You know, I watched most of the final round yesterday, and Rory seemed like he was in complete control, and then all of a sudden he wasn't. You know, Cam Smith put together that barrage of five birdies in a row, and it's funny. I was talking to my dad about this on Saturday, and I said it was early on in the round, and I said, you know, who do you think is going to win this tournament? And you know, obviously at the time Rory was in good shape, and we both mentioned Rory, and then he said if there's another guy that I have my eye on, it's Cam Smith because he's the best putter. He's the best putter in that group that's on at the top of the leaderboard. And you go with the guy who can drain the big putts. And he was right. I mean, Cam Smith got hot with the putter yesterday, five straight birdies. And he came back and, you know, Rory didn't have an answer for him. And it was a very impressive showing from Cam Smith, especially that back nine yesterday at St. Andrews.
Can I ask you a personal question, Steve?
Sure.
How'd you do? Did you gamble on this?
I did. I finished up, not as much up as I wanted to be. So I had a parlay that I had mentioned last week. It was before I placed it before the tournament. So it was Rory top 10, Spieth top 20, Shane Lowry top 40, and that hit. But after the second round, I picked Rory to win, and that did not happen. So as Cam Smith went on his barrage yesterday, I put a little bit on Cam Smith to, you know, offset Rory. And I still finished up, but I thought Rory was going to win it. I thought going into the tournament, I didn't put any money on him. I have a hard time picking the winners. It's just
I don't like how you and Jordan do that. I like to just bet and leave it and take my lumps.
Because you have a better chance if you could kind of see how it's developing.
You guys always hedge your bets. You're like one night Jordan's like texting me, you got to bet the over now because you bet.
Well, I'm glad I did because Cam Smith won. So
that's no fun. I just like to sit there and watch myself.
I bet Scooter would be a fan of hedging your bets. You know, you watch it, you see how it's going, and then
I'm either a winner or a loser.
Okay.
More times than not, I'm a loser.
I still finished ahead.
I bet six $1 bets on this and did not win any of them.
I did pull a Paulie yesterday. I did a $1 bet. And I bet like 10 of the matchups yesterday, like the head-to-head, you know, the golfers. I got the first six right. It was like $1. I would have won like $250. And then Scotty Scheffler killed me. He did not play well yesterday.
I missed Abraham Ancer in the top 10 by a shot. He finished tied for 11th.
Ooh.
So it was not a good weekend for me.
No.
I hit a six-game parlay in baseball on Saturday.
And then, so that's good.
And then Sunday, I got all of them wrong in a three-game part.
Well, at least you're not kicking yourself. That's almost better than getting two of them right and then losing in, like, on a ninth-inning rally. You'd be kicking yourself.
But, yeah, it was a good sports weekend, and now it's kind of relaxed time and nothing for us to talk about but the TBT and tailgating.
Well, after we get by this big event tonight. After we get by that.
What? Why? Why are you like this? I get such a bad rap, and you're just a jerk.
No, that's not true. Like I said, I got to give back to you a little bit. Let's hear from Cam Smith. Can we hear from Cam Smith?
I mean, the first thing, can they just, I love our job, and I love the media and what people do. I mean, can he get off the course before you ask him?
So you didn't like the question?
The Live Tour question. Like, ask him about winning first. No, I liked the question, but it's just like...
The timing.
I hate in that situation. Yeah.
Apologies for having to bring this up in these circumstances, but your name continues to be mentioned, has been mentioned to me this week about Live Golf. What's your position? Are you interested? Is there any truth to suggestions that you might be signing?
I just won the British Open, and you're asking about that. I think that's pretty... not that good.
I appreciate that, but... The question is still there. Are you interested at all? Is there any truth in that?
I don't know, mate. My team around me worries about all that stuff. I'm here to win golf tournaments.
Oh, that was the most polite argument. And their accents made it even more polite.
See, I personally have no issue with the question. Again, I didn't hear the press conference, so I don't know where that fell in the chronology of the questions that were asked. But it's obviously a big topic, and the reporter's just doing his job.
90 mil they offered him.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's a huge... it's the biggest topic in golf right now. And, if you're hearing rumors that the winner is defecting, I feel like you do have to ask the question. And I thought he was within his right to ask the question,
Yeah, I liked the answer, too. You're like, just not right now.
Yeah,
I didn't like to play. Yeah, the question's still out there, though. You're going to answer it?
Yeah, it was, he didn't say no. And I feel like, read between the lines there. But if it's a no, I'm not going to, that's an easy answer. So he's at least thinking about it. And, the feeling I get hearing that is the reports are true that he's off to the Live Tour. But it was a terrific come from behind win. And he actually spoke about that, he was maybe a little bit more comfortable playing from behind than playing with the lead.
I sometimes think that being behind on certain golf courses and in certain situations is maybe a good thing. I think it's very easy to get defensive out there and keep, hitting it to 60, 70 feet, and you can make pars all day, but you're not going to make birdies. And I think it was a good thing that I was definitely behind. I think my mindset would have been a touch different coming in, especially on that back nine if I was ahead. I think my shot into my second shot into 13 was really when I thought that, yeah, we can win this thing. I think I had three birdies in a row before that, and then to hit that shot in there, well, the two shots, the drive and the second shot, were two of the best all week, and yeah, for that to go in, I think that was it for me.
It's interesting he brings up the mindset because, again, I know you just watched the highlights, but it did feel like Rory was content to play a match play type event against Victor Hovland because they went in, they both were, several shots ahead of the field, and it felt like they both were focused on the other one and not so much focused about the guys behind them, and that, they were, what I'm saying, Paulie? It was almost like they were in a match play event. And they forgot the fact that there was guys behind him gunning for him. So I do think that the mindset came into it. Cam Smith knew he had to put up birdies, and he did. And I think Rory was more focused on just beating Victor Hovland, keeping him at bay. And then all of a sudden, by the time Cam Smith joined him at the top of the leaderboard and then passed him, Rory couldn't make the putt down the stretch that he needed to in order to force a playoff. But it was a fantastic final round.
Cameron Smith won $2.5 million yesterday. It's a good that's a good payday, and then he's got 90 mil just waiting for him too.
Yeah, I mean that's something, right? We'll pay you like, you know, 20 times or whatever that works out.
I have to look for change in my car to pay for McDonald's. And he just made $2.5 million yesterday.
What's that? 36 times. So you just won $2.5 million for winning this event. We'll pay you 36 times that. Just cause you don't even have to win. Just come over and join us. Just play some golf on our tour.
He's almost in your tax bracket, Steve.
Stop. Stop. It was an impressive final round, though. And a lot of big names, a lot of drama. I love the majors. And I mean, like I said, just a lot of big names down the stretch. It was fun to watch. All right, let's hit a break here. Again, Mark Bradwick will join us at 12:30. Jack Jokinen, 1 o'clock, down at DeToto, 1:30. That's what we have on tap for you today. Keep it here. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com.
Welcome back to Orange Nation. It's Rolling Stones Day. A day that's taken a while to come, Steve. We had to postpone it once.
We did. It's here, though.
Yes, Rolling Stones. They had eight number one hits, I believe. They had eight number one hits. We'll get seven of them in today. This is Angie, number one, September 8th, 1973.
I mean, since there's eight and we get to seven, we should get to all eight. Maybe we should start the last segment with one and you can end the last segment with another.
That's not how we work.
Okay. No. All right.
You get seven.
All right.
Each band gets seven. You're no one. You're not better than anybody else, even if you're the Rolling Stones.
You are fascinated by this Juan Soto story.
I love trades. The bubble and trade deadline are my two favorite things.
That's why you like conference expansion so much, because it's kind of like trades and the bubble.
Yes, I do. I love stuff like that. I want to be a GM, I think,
in your next career.
My next life, or on the tournament committee. Maybe I was in my last life, and that's why I'm fascinated by it now. But here is the thing. They're going to offer Juan Soto more money today, according to John Heyman, the Washington Nationals. And I think that if he doesn't take it, he's a gonzo. But if you're the Nationals, you got him for 2.5 more years. I mean, you're not winning the World Series with that lineup right now. But do you let him go now?
Yes.
While you can get...
I think so. If he's not coming... Because, this
you'll get more for him now,
exactly,
clearly.
Exactly. And this team's no good. And you know that... He's not coming back. I think you absolutely. It's not like you're trying to hang on to him. Man, we'll go one more go round with him next year, and maybe next year's the year. They don't seem like they're close. So yes, I think you get rid of him now. You can get more back in return, and there are a lot of suitors right now.
Let me ask you a question: if the New York Mets offer you the best package, and you're
the
Washington Nationals, do you want to face Juan Soto for the next 10 years?
No, I don't. No.
But also with the new scheduling, who cares, right? It's down from 19 times a year to 14.
And more teams make the playoffs. I don't know. I guess
I think you just take the best pay.
Some of it would depend on how much better is it. You know what I mean? Like,
two comparable ones, you don't take the Mets.
Right. Yeah. I think that would be the tiebreaker. It's kind of like on draft night, right? If you're, and you're looking to make a draft day trade, how much better is it? You know, if it's significantly better, then yeah, I think. But you got to weigh that. Obviously, you don't want to get beaten up by him in your division for the next 8 years or whatever it ends up being.
The Cardinals apparently appear to be the front runner for, according to most of the
stats. And that's what I was saying. Like, obviously, anybody can use him, but the Yankees and Dodgers are already really, really good and considered the favorites on both sides. The Cardinals, obviously, the Cardinals are good. But maybe this move puts them over the top. I don't think it necessarily puts the Yankees or Dodgers over the top because they're already at the top in terms of the pecking order. So I get that. I get why the Cardinals might be the most motivated of that group.
Mariners, Giants, Yankees, Dodgers, Cardinals. CBS currently has listed as the top five, with the Padres at six along with the Angels. Imagine if you're the Angels, do you not put a huge package together? You got Ohtani, Trout, and Soto in the same line. How fun would that be? May not win as many, you know, may not win anything, but
I mean, right now you got Trout line. And Ohtani, and you're 14 games below 500. Don't sleep on the Mariners, by the way. Like, I feel like, you know, we brought up the Mariners and Orioles last week, and we're like, oh, like, that's a nice story. Like, the Orioles are almost 500, and how about the Mariners? Like, they're winning a lot of games. They've won 14 in a row, Paulie.
Yeah, that'll stop.
14 in a row.
The Mariners.
I know.
That'll stop eventually, and they'll fall back to earth. I'm not saying that about the Yankees, but, you know, the Yankees will probably cool off a little bit, too, in the second half. Especially if this lead stays, they'll be resting people a lot more.
Well, I think that's what we saw to some degree against the Reds, you know? The bullpen was kind of a disaster, but it was like, oh, okay, Loaisiga's back, let's see what he's got, let's give Chapman an inning here, you know, let's rest Holmes. They could do that. They have that luxury. They've got a 13-game cushion
If the
right
Yankees
now.
Got Soto, who would bet ninth on that team? Like, you could say that with the Dodgers, too. You could legitimately have an all-star batting ninth.
I know. It kind of feels like that right now with the Yankees, with the exception of whenever Joey Gallo comes over, they're like, oh, strikeout here. You know. But other than that, I mean, they're dangerous.
They don't need to make a move, any move.
That's what I'm saying. Yankees and Dodgers
don't. Survive with Gallo, the team will probably fall down a little bit, and he'll probably heat up a little bit, you know?
Oh, God, I hope so. He's been awful. Awful. Yeah, I don't think they need to do it. I don't think the Dodgers need to do it. But I'm not in charge. I wouldn't mind watching it, but
the Yankees at least are a little bit concerned about the luxury tax. The Dodgers just don't care.
Don't even care. Yeah.
Don't care. They'll build a super team.
Ready? So where do you think he ends up?
I hate to say it, but I really, really think it's gonna be like the San Francisco Giants
or the Dodgers.
Yeah. Yes.
Spoken like a true Padres fan.
Yes, it will be. So,
all right. Let's step aside here. We're going to switch gears. We're going to talk SU football on the other side. We've got veteran tailgater Mark Bradwick set to join us. I guess every year he puts together this guide to tailgating on the road trips for the SU football season. So we'll get his thoughts on how he ranks the upcoming road trips in 2022. He'll join us next on ESPN Radio.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com.
Say where she came from.
Ruby Tuesday, number one, 1967,
yesterday,
I believe.
Don't matter.
It's a long time ago.
It's gone.
Indeed. That predates you as well.
Yes. Rolling Stones Day, the artist of the day.
We got one more.
Yes, I do enjoy Rolling Stones, artist of the day, because it kills time in the summer.
And it also allows us to wait if a guest isn't ready to go. But in this case, our guest is ready to go. And we've got, as promised, Donna DeTota from Syracuse.com joining us here. Donna, always great to catch up with you. How are you today?
I am pretty good. How about you, Steve? Ooh, what just happened?
We're doing great. I think that means you may be getting another call, potentially.
No, I think she hit the button on her.
Oh, she hit the other button. Okay.
No matter what it was.
It was Donna's fault. Yes, it was definitely Donna's fault.
It's my fault, sure. Yes. Hey, sure, it's my fault. I take the blame.
So we're bringing you on later on in the show because you had tipped us off that you were going to have something for us. And sure enough, right around 12:45, you released word that Jimmy Boeheim has officially joined Boeheim's Army. Tell us about the addition. It sounds like this was something that was in the works for a while. They just had to wait to get through Summer League.
Yeah, I think they were just waiting to see what Jimmy's availability was, how it went in Summer League. You know, when I talked to him today, I mean, he has expressed interest before in playing, and I know Kevin has and Adam Weitzman have talked to him about playing. So he's been in the conversation, but it just was kind of a flux situation with him and where he would be and how it went in Summer League and sort of where he is just in the scheme of his professional basketball career at this point.
All right, so he's not the only recent addition. Late last week, the team announced that Matt Morgan, somebody who Jimmy knows awfully well, is joining the roster as well. What does Matt Morgan provide to this team? We know he could score, second all-time leading scorer in Ivy League history. What does he provide to this team?
Well, you know, oddly, for all the kind of shooters that they've had over the years on their team, they have not shot the ball at all in TBT. They're like, I don't know, I can't remember, their best performance is something like in the 20s or 30s in terms of three-point shooting percentage. And Matt Morgan is a really good scorer, as you mentioned, but he's also a really good shooter. And I think they are hoping he can provide a little bit of shooting potency for them, something that they really have not had over the years.
All right, so as we get ready for this tournament, it's going to be here before we know it. Friday is the opener for this team.
I know.
You know, a lot of new faces from last year. I mean, some of the guys are back, but it feels like a new team. With that in mind, do you have a feel for who the key guys are going to be on this year's run? Because now there's 11 players on this roster, so you know they're not all going to play. Or if they do, you know, some are only going to get a few minutes. Who do you think are going to be the high leverage guys on this team?
Well, I'll tell you, my favorite guy on the team is DeAndre King. I mean, the guy is just a killer. He does everything. I mean, he can score a little bit, but he guards, he gets rebounds. The key thing about last year's team, which they were better at than they've been in the past, is they were a really good defensive team, and they were really good at rebounding the ball, really good at rebounding the ball. And that had been a failure of theirs in the past. And DeAndre Kane is just like a guy he and DJ Kennedy were very good rebounders last year. Chris McCullough was a very good rebounder last year. And in these TBT games, you know, a lot of times, for whatever reason, teams don't shoot the ball that well. So you need to be able to guard people and be able to turn them over a little bit, and you need to be able to be really good in the Elam ending. And so the ball, you know, the importance of guards in these games, so the importance of the three guards they added, Tyler Ennis, DeBost, and now Matt Morgan are really important. Those three guys have to be able to make free throws. So the guards, I think, are going to be the most important thing. But you also need to have guys like DeAndre Kane, or maybe like DJ Kennedy, or maybe like Marek, guys who can just make some plays or make some things happen.
You know, it's interesting you should bring that up. We had Jeremy Pope on the show a couple weeks ago, and we had Sean Belby on the show, and we were kind of going through the roster with both of them. And, you know, why is this guy on the team? Why is this guy on the team? And a lot of the answers were the same. It's, you know, it's a tough guy who he knows how to win.
Right.
And it almost felt like that was the makeup of the guy they're looking for. They're looking for tough guys, as you said, who can get stops at one end and who are going to do the little things that it takes to win a close game.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important. And I'm telling you, they were precision-like during the Elam ending last year. And they had two great guards in Sykes and in Tyrese Rice who were really experienced and really calm down the stretch in the Elam ending. They know exactly how it works. You know, DJ and DeAndre, you know, won a bunch of TBTs at Overseas Elite. So as soon as it kicked into the Elam ending, those guys were just, like I said, they knew exactly what they were doing. And most of the time what you're doing is you're putting the ball in the hands of your point guards. They had two point guards out there, and that guy has to make a play, or that guy has to make some free throws.
I know you've had a chance to talk to some of the guys. The fact that they won it last year, Donna, does that help this team or hurt this team? Help them in the sense that, you know, maybe it takes some of the pressure off that they got the job done last year, or, you know, do they look at it as, oh, now we're trying to repeat, we're trying to defend, we got a lot of pressure on ourselves because everybody's gunning for us. What do you think the mindset is in that regard heading into this tournament?
I think that they're nervous that everybody's gunning for them, because I think over the years everybody has always been gunning for them. They've always been a one seed or a two seed. I mean, they've always been one of the top seeds in whatever region they've been in. So I think teams have been aware of them over the years. So I don't think they feel any additional pressure. I think they, you know, like the guys who are back from last year know what it takes to win, and now they've got some new guys, and you know, you're hoping that this week that you can establish some chemistry and figure out, you know, which pieces fit where. You know, I forgot to mention somebody like CJ Fair too, who was another real big glue guy. And a guy like Andrew White, who was a guy who was one of the few guys last year who could make shots. And so, you know, those guys, too, are sort of, I think, going to be important guys going forward, too.
You know, we were talking to Scoop Jardine a couple weeks ago, and he said that, you know, him and Rick are kind of using it as motivation, certainly, that they weren't asked to be on this team. Do you think, like, why do you think they went away from, because when Bam's Army was first formed, it was all about, you know, former SU guys. And then little by little, they've kind of gotten away from that so that, you know, it's a mix of half SU guys and half guys who didn't go to SU. And I know that they wanted to win it. Is that, I guess, do you look at that as they felt like they couldn't get it done with just SU guys? They had to go elsewhere.
part of it. You know, but they've always had guys who have not been SU guys, even in the first team or two, they had non-SU guys. They had a couple of two or three guys who were not SU guys. I think maybe in the last couple of years, they've had a couple more guys who weren't SU guys. But look, I mean, the point of this whole thing is to win. You know, you want to have the best players on your team so you can win. And I know fans have complained to me like, well, we wish it was an all Syracuse team, or wish it was an all alumni team, or we wish these, you know. And my response to that is, number one, it's really hard to get these guys. First of all, it's hard to get them in the off season. You know, some guys are hurt. Some guys just don't want to play during the summer because they've got families and they've spent all their entire winters overseas, and they need to spend some time with their kids and their wives, and they've got things to do during the summer. So it's hard to get guys, number one, to play. And then, you know, then you got to get kind of the right guys to play. So, you know, I think it's a combination of trying to find pieces that are all going to fit together. That's all going to work while trying to maintain a certain core level of Syracuse guys. And, you know, I'm not one of those people who are like married to the idea that everybody has to be a Syracuse guy. Like the St. Bonaventure team, I'm a St. Bonaventure graduate. The St. Bonaventure team has players on it who weren't St. Bonaventure graduates. All these teams have teams that are not purely whatever the alumni team is.
Right. You just want to see him do well. You want to see him win. And
You want to see him win, exactly.
Right. And Bayham's Army did that, last summer. So we mentioned with Jimmy, they had to wait until his summer league was over so that he was available to play. Two other guys who took part in the summer league are not available to play because they're under NBA contracts, two-way deals. That's Buddy Boeheim, Cole Swider. I'm not asking to break down anything that happened in Vegas, but I'm sure you're aware of how well Cole played. He's put himself in position to, you know, it's not out of the question. He could be on the opening day roster for the Lakers. I mean, that is possible at this point. How surprised are you with the success he's had the last 2-3 weeks out west?
Well, I did hear something today about Cole that the Lakers really like him. They love him. I think he's probably going to be their best shooter or one of their best shooters. I mean, I did hear that today from somebody. But, you know, Cole is such an interesting guy. You know, he was the last two seasons of his college career, he shot 40% or better from the three-point line. He's a legit 6'9". And, you know, I think you just have to get in the right kind of situations in these things in summer league. And I think he just sort of fell into a really good situation in Los Angeles. You know, they need shooters, and he has shot the ball remarkably well. Again, I've not watched a ton of summer league basketball. I've just read the stories and looked at stats. So I don't know. I can't say that I've watched a whole bunch of his games and how they're setting him up or where he is or anything. But it's just, you know, he's a proven 3-point shooter in college basketball. And usually that success, somebody who makes 40% of their three, that success usually translates.
Yeah, I mean, he shot, 52% in 8 games or whatever it was, you know, between the two summer leagues he played in. And, you know, 52% is 52%. So, that is awfully impressive. And as long as he can defend, I think he's got a legitimate shot to land on that roster. All right, let's look ahead, if we could, Don, as long as we have you for a couple minutes, to the next college basketball season and what's upcoming here. What are your thoughts on this team? You know, they've got some known commodities coming back, the Joe Girard, Samir Torrance, Jesse Edwards. You know, Benny obviously is a returning player, but I'm not sure we totally know what to expect out of him. And then you've got a bunch of new faces and freshmen coming in. What's your feeling heading into this year about what this team can potentially be?
Well, I think they're really young, and it's going to be interesting to see how all these pieces fit together early in the season. You know, I think this is a team that probably will be better toward the end of the season than it will be toward the beginning of the season, just because there are so many new guys and so many young guys. I think one of the best things that could happen to Benny is that he's going overseas and playing on that team that's going over to Europe this summer, because, you know, he'll get more game reps, he'll get more experience, and that's what he needs, really. He needs to play. And I think that's really important for him and his development. You know, it'll be interesting to see how, because I think Joe is going to be absolutely off the ball this year. I don't think he's going to play on the ball that much, which I think is a good thing. I think he's better off the ball. I think he's more comfortable off the ball. He's also has been a guy who's had a really good shooting. He's got really good shooting stats throughout his college career. And now he's going to be in a position where he's just going to be able to shoot the ball, really. I mean, not just be able to shoot the ball, but that's going to be his primary purpose, you know, to score and shoot the ball. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, of all the young guys, what happens, like who emerges as guys who are going to start, because certainly somebody's going to have to start, and who's going to play a bulk of the minutes this year. I think one of the things that the coaches really like about this team is sort of the versatility of a lot of the guys, that they can play a bunch of different positions. Each guy can play at least a couple of positions. with the exception maybe of somebody like Samir, who's clearly a point guard, and Jesse, who's clearly a center. But other than that, I think they're pretty happy with the way, you know, these different pieces can be sort of assembled and dissembled during games.
Yeah, no doubt. A lot of question marks heading into this year, and you're right. At least a few of these guys are going to have to emerge, some of these young pieces, in order for this team to be what it wants to become. Donna, as always, great stuff coming on. Enjoy the TBT. Enjoy your summer, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks. Good talking to you, Steve.
All right, good talking to you as well. Donna DeTota from Syracuse.com. And with that, we'll take our final timeout. We'll wrap up the show right after this on ESPN Radio.